from wherever you've been. Come brokenhearted, let a rescue begin. Come find your mercy, oh sinner, come kneel. Earth has no sorrow that heaven can't heal. Earth has no sorrow that heaven can't heal. So lay down your burdens, lay down your shame. All who are broken, lift up your face.
Appreciate that. God bless you. Wonderful message there. This is 665 in your hymn book. Are you a child of the King this evening? Amen.
Once I was clothed in the rags of my sin, I was wretched and poor, so lost and lonely. But with wondrous compassion, the King of all kings, in pity and great love, he took me under his. child with a heavenly home, and my holy Father has made me his own, and now I'm cleansed by his blood, and I'm clothed in his love, and someday with a heavenly home. Yes, my holy Father has made me his own, and now I'm cleansed by his blood, and I'm clothed in his love, and someday I'll sing with all the angels. Child of the King, and his royal blood, it now flows through my veins, and I, who was wretched,
let's stand and sing that chorus once again. I'm a child of the King. Oh, yes. Oh, yes. Oh, I'm a child of the King. And his royal blood now flows through my veins. And I, who was wretched, and by I now can see. Praise God, I'm a child of the King. Amen. You've been enjoying this. Have you been enjoying this study on the church ages? Amen. It sure has been a blessing to me. We asked Brother Trevor if he'd prepare to come. Let's sing this little chorus as he does.
The anchor
have an anchor tonight.
All the sails are torn. Oh, I have fallen on my knees as I face the raging sea. But the anchor holds. The story.
Blessed be the name of the Lord. Amen. How many can lift your hand and say, the anchor has been holding me? Amen. I was just thinking in the service this morning, a few things of my life had come to my mind as Brother Nathan was preaching. And I just said, God, thank you. There were so many opportunities that I had that, Lord, if your anchor wouldn't have been holding me, I would have gone a different way. And I wouldn't be here tonight, and I wouldn't be living the life that I'm living now, and I'm so thankful. It means, to look back, it means so much to me to still live this message life. I just thank God. I thank Him for the Word. I thank Him for the Holy Ghost. Let's just lift our hands and just bow our heads and just thank Him. Father, Lord, we want to thank You that You gave us a tie post, that You gave us an anchor that can hold each one of us, Lord, in this great message, Lord, that You can hold us in the Word of the living God, that You give us Your Holy Spirit to come and make us overcomers and give us victorious lives, oh God. Lord, I'm so thankful. Lord, we know that it wasn't anything about each one of us, Lord, and we're going to be studying a little bit about that tonight. But Father, we're just, what can we say but thank You, God? Without You, Lord, we're nothing. We confess that to You and thank You for the blood that You shed on the cross for us, that You rose again and came to live inside of us, oh God. Thank You, Father, for the seed down in our hearts, Lord, that anchor that holds us, Your living presence, the very manifested Word of the living God. Oh God, we're unworthy. We're unworthy, God. Thank You, Lord. We thank You so much in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. 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 Well, let's, while you're standing, take your Bibles. We'll turn to Revelations chapter 2, verses 8 through 11. Bear with me just a bit this evening. I have a couple of slides that never made it across the internet and to my iPad. So I brought the book up so that I can read the two quotes, and I just have to remember where they are in the book and where I wanted to read them in the slides. So if I seem a little off, it's because I'm just trying to remember a few things that I want to put in here. But Revelations chapter 2, verses 8 through 11, as we again study our last lesson, two lessons that we'll cover on the Smyrnian age. Unto the angel of the church of Smyrna write, these things saith the first and the last, which was dead and is alive. I know thy works, tribulation, and poverty, but thou art rich. And I know the blasphemy of them which say they are Jews, and are not, but are of the synagogue of Satan. Fear none of those things which thou shalt suffer. Behold, the devil shall cast some of you into prison, that ye may be tried, and ye shall have tribulation 10 days. Be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee a crown of life. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. He that overcometh shall not be hurt of the second death. Just bow our heads for a moment, Lord. We ask that You would bless this word and make it alive to our hearts. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. You may be seated. So again, as I'll probably just point out at the last lesson of every single age that we go through, if you think about what we've just read, and not because I'm teaching it, but because we've been going through it and the prophet has brought it to us and laid it down very clearly in the Word, now we understand every line and every sentence of that scripture that we just read should not be a mystery to any of us. Because Brother Branham came and revealed all these mysteries, and these things are now very clear and very plain to us. We know what the 10 days of tribulation was. Those were those last 10 years of the Emperor Diocletian. And we understand what he's talking about their works and their poverty. We understand what those things are. We look at synagogue of Satan, and people might think, well, what is that? Well, we know because, well, Brother Branham told us. And we've studied these things. So now we understand that the prophet came in manifestation and fulfillment of the Word of God and begins to bring these things out. And we literally are living in the days of the manifested Word of God for our age, because now we are seeing the full picture, just like it said we would see. And so we're there. So how thankful we are. I just appreciate what God has done, and I appreciate that I can see this word. So from our last lesson, we'll just go through our questions as always. It doesn't say he that hath a blank, let him say what the Spirit is blank. Doesn't say he that hath a tongue, let him say what the Spirit is saying. No, it says he that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit is saying. So only a blank can hear the revelation for that age. What kind of man is it going to be? It's going to be a Spirit-filled man can hear the revelation for that age. No other person is going to hear the revelation. You've got to have the Holy Spirit. The more and more I see this, the more God shows me this is so critical. You've got to have the Holy Spirit. If you lack, look, this. I was preaching this morning at about 7 a.m. from this pulpit. Yes, I had a congregation of, well, two. I had Gloriana and her stuffed dog, Droopy, was here in attendance. Gloriana was fighting sleep, but Droopy never batted an eye. So, but anyway, I was preaching and I was going through a quote from that Brother Branham preached on and knoweth it not. And Brother Branham was talking about this is not a game, and he was asking, "What are you here for? What are you doing? This isn't a game." And he was going through and he was saying, "Look," he said, "don't just have long hair because I said so." That's a quote. Don't just have long hair because he said so. It's not a game. It's not just something that you do, but it is a living reality that is supposed to come down on the inside of your heart. This message must live inside of someone. And I, for one, want to be the kind of person that it lives inside of. I don't want to just do this because somebody told me I have to do this, and okay, well, fine, I'll do what I'm supposed to do. Except for I don't really want to, but I'm doing it because I'm supposed to. What a miserable existence. I don't want to be one of those people. I want what God has for me. I want every promise living inside of me. I want every work living inside of me. Everything that he has, every responsibility even that he wants to have me do because of what he desires from my life. God, let it live inside of me. Only just don't let it be me in my flesh, Lord. I don't want to do it in that way. Lord, I let your Holy Spirit come on the inside of me. Give me the revelation that I must have to do what you want me to do. Amen. Amen. If the Spirit wasn't inside, you wouldn't hear the truth and receive it by revelation if you heard it. That one doesn't get quoted a lot. But I'm going to read it again. If the Spirit wasn't inside you, you wouldn't hear the truth and receive it by revelation if you heard it every moment of the day. You can play tapes in your home 24/7, and without the Holy Spirit, you won't receive it. Now, the Word of God is quick. The Word of God is powerful. If you're actually sitting there with an ear to hear, and that's what we covered last week, is he that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit is saying. But all who hear, all who can hear with their ears, aren't receiving what the Spirit is saying. There was all kinds of people that followed Moses. We'll get into that just a little bit in this lesson and coming lessons. All kinds of people followed Moses. There was two that made a promised land. Yes. Amen. Now, don't misunderstand me. I'm not saying you shouldn't follow Moses. I'm not saying you shouldn't hear tapes. You should absolutely, look, the only two that made a promised land were two of the group that followed Moses out of Egypt. You're gonna want to listen to some tapes to get you out of Egypt, but you must have an ear to hear what the Spirit is saying. There must be something inside of you. It is not by mere virtue that you are a good follower of someone out of Egypt. But it is because that you've recognized what that prophet that said you can come out of Egypt because there's a promised land that you can inherit. And you recognize something about that and say, that's for me. I'm that person. I'm Joshua. I'm Caleb. And that land is mine and I'm going there. Amen. Okay. Well, feeling good tonight. We're not even through the questions. They were a group of people that heard the messenger and his message and took it and lived it. Well, that's what I just said. That's me, Joshua, Caleb, going to take what the prophet said and then go live it. They have no power, for they stop short of Pentecost. That's what Judas did. He stopped short of Pentecost. He didn't believe that it was for him. He didn't believe there was forgiveness for him. Yeah, yes, he was the son of perdition and all of that. But as a man, he didn't recognize that there was something for him, that he couldn't go and claim that. And sometimes people think, I'm just a Judas and I can't have it. And no, don't stop short of Pentecost. And don't come and just live a message lifestyle and stop short of Pentecost. Receive the Holy Ghost because it's for you. Amen. The moment you've all been waiting for. I really wanted to do a memorized slide with nothing. And here's full disclaimer, after you write a curriculum and then you put memorization sections in and then you try to do that yourself and then you realize, wow, that shouldn't have been it. the last sentence, then maybe the next edit, I'll just trim this down to the last sentence, because that's really what I was going for anyway. But I've been drilling it today and last Sunday, or the last time I preached Sunday, Brother Nathan was talking about, the Bible Sunday school verses on the way to church, trying to drill it into your kids, and that's not what we're trying to do. That's the way I've been doing this. So we do this together. If you are a Christian, you will get back to what the Spirit is teaching. That is the word of this age. Every messenger to every age will preach that word. Every fresh and true revival will be because men have gotten back to the word for their age. You want revival? Who in here wants revival? Who in here doesn't raise your hand in church no matter what the preacher says? Oh. There's a way you can have revival. Get back to the word for this age, for the age that you live in. Amen. Okay, so eternal thoughts. When you read your lesson, you will notice that I have a little disclaimer at the top, and I will tell you you should pray. And you should truly do that when you begin to read this section of the Church Age book. You should pray because the thought of eternal thoughts is deep. And we're really going to try to understand, not that we can, but we'll look at this concept anyway of what eternal thoughts is. And then we're going to be talking about being sons of God, placed as sons. So, just to review a bit of last lesson, anyway, we talked about ears to hear, and I've already kind of covered that a little bit in just our questions, that you have to have an ear to hear that's not a physical ear, but that's a spiritual ear that you must have on the inside. And we'll just review a few scriptures that Brother Branham brings out in the Church Age book, Matthew 13 through 16. Therefore speak I to them in parables, this is Jesus speaking, because they seeing, see not, and hearing, they hear not, neither do they understand. And in them is fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah, which saith, by hearing ye shall hear, and shall not understand, and seeing ye shall see, and shall not perceive. For this people's heart is waxed gross, and their ears are dull of hearing, and their eyes have closed, lest at any time they should see with their eyes, and hear with their ears, and should understand with their heart, and should be converted, and I should heal them. But blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear. Now, there's two groups of people that Jesus is talking about here, isn't there? There's a group of people that are blessed because their eyes see and their ears hear, and they're right there with Jesus, and he's talking about another group of people that are right there with Jesus, and they've been prophesied about, and they're a group that he's literally talking and saying, but I prophesied about these people and said I would basically blind them so that even seeing they won't see. They'll see it, but they won't see. They'll hear it, but they won't hear. They won't perceive. They won't understand. They won't be converted. And you think, well, I thought he wants everybody to be converted. He does. He does. It's God's love and God's desire that all would be converted. You look in, I think it's Jeremiah that, or Ezekiel, one of those, that it's not my will that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. And that's God's will. He wants everyone to, but God being God recognizes that not everyone will. And only the elect will see it. And begin, when we'll talk about this, but we begin to start being, but just thinking about that, is that fair? Is that fair of God? That's a good question. It's a valid question. And you think, well, we shouldn't ask those kinds of questions. Well, maybe we should, actually. Because maybe there's an answer for that question, and then if that question is answered, and then our understanding is heightened and our revelation is deepened, and we're in a much better spot. So we don't really mind tough questions as long as when we ask these tough questions, we're diligently, honestly, with an open heart coming to God and saying, God, show me the truth of this.
All right.
So, John 8:42-44. Jesus said unto them, if God were your Father, ye would love me. For I proceeded forth and came from God, neither came I of myself, but he sent me. Why do you not understand my speech, even because ye cannot hear my word? Ye are of your father the devil, and the lusts of your father ye will do. He was a murderer from the beginning, and abode not in the truth, because there's no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar, and the father of it. And so we talked about this last time, and we understand that there are people that are the seed of God, and praise God for the message of the hour. Praise God for the revelation of serpent seed to understand that we've covered too, that to understand that there was a seed of the serpent. There are people who do not have inside them what it takes to believe because they have the wrong father. Right. Is that their fault? Right. No, not necessarily. That's not necessarily their fault, but that they're, and nowadays we don't look at so much of it as a physical serpent seed. We're not doing genealogy research to try to figure out, well, is it even worth it for me to believe? You know, I've got to figure out, is there any problems in my family tree? Because, hey, if there's problems in my family tree, you know, I might as well go party for, you know, because I'm going to hell anyway, so. Because nobody's thought that kind of thing before. Or maybe people have, you know. And so we recognize, though, that the serpent seed is now, it's a very spiritual kind of thing, but that in the Old Testament there was a concept that was laying there that now we understand the spiritual meaning and manifestation of it, that there are going to be a people who do not have what it takes to hear and a people that do. Because of the seed of God within them. And that's what we're going to get into. Now, Brother Branham, so what we're doing is we're laying out scripturally that I am not lying to you or teaching you anything that's, you know, overtly just messagey. What we ought to understand is, this is what the prophet is doing. And when you begin to read this book, look, it's like two-thirds of it is scripture. And Brother Branham is saying, see this concept. Let me show you. Boom, 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 boom. Scripture after scripture after scripture after scripture. And then he goes, see, how could you believe anything else? That's what this book really is, you know. And so here he says, it is most evident from these scriptures that no man of himself can hear God. That ability has to be given him of God. And that's exactly what we can see and derive the meaning out of these scriptures. We can see that that is what Jesus is saying. So we're not creating a premise here that's anything but biblical. Are we together?
Amen.
Amen? Okay. So then we come back to our question, is this fair of God? That the ability has to be given you of God. If you're going to be a believer, if you're going to see this and hear these things, that ability has to be given to you of God. Is that fair? And all of us would claim, yes, I have that ability to hear from God. And then we could look outside and all these other churches and people in Walmart and all these other kinds of things. And we can go, oh, apparently they haven't been given that ability. And we can begin to go, well, why me? Why not them? Why me and not my friends? Why me and not my coworkers? How is this fair? God should be fair, shouldn't he? Is not God just? Yes, God is just. So, now, again, I think this is an honest question, isn't it? And I think this is probably a question that every single one of us, if we're honest and actually started looking at this, it's a question that could and probably should come in our minds. And so we begin to look at this now. This is the question that we're going to be processing here for a little bit. So on that note, we want to say that God is looking for a bride. I said that God is looking for a bride. Now, what's wrong with this picture here? Now, I particularly love this picture because of the joy of this man's, you know, I just love how excited and emotional he's getting as she proposes to him. I could stop and make comments about our culture today, but that would get to another place. So anyway, just maybe reiterating the same kind of thing, that God is looking for a bride. Nowhere in the scriptures does it say that the bride is looking for a groom, but it says that God is looking for a bride. Now, it doesn't say that in quotes. You won't find, don't search in your Bibles now, God is looking for a bride. Brother Trevor said God is looking for a bride. That's not direct, but this is the concept that we're talking about. And there's many scriptures we could go through, but God is looking, and we have a scripture that we're going to come to here in just a moment, that you'll see this very, very clearly. Now, I just want to bring, you know, a little bit of the message into it, that God is choosing a bride. The title of the message is Choosing of a Bride. Imagine if Brother Branham preached a message titled The Choosing of a Groom. Doesn't make sense, does it? Again, culture would love to warp this and twist this and make it so that it doesn't matter. But God created Adam, and from Adam, he took Eve. And she was created from man and for man. And, you know, we could, you know, like it or not, that's just how God did it. Okay? So it's the groom, then, that chooses a bride. Okay? Now, it, of course, here as we look at this, you know, we understand that, you know, certainly the bride has every right to say yes or no. Oh, now we're getting somewhere, aren't we? Okay, so it says choosing of a bride. Amen. So John 15:16, it says, ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you. This is the words of Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ saying, I have chosen you. You didn't choose me, I chose you. Amen. And you say, oh, okay. But why, again, we come back to our question. Why can it say God chose me, but he doesn't choose my friend? Why me and not the cashier at Walmart? Why me and you understand, okay? Right, but then again, we go back to our question is, well, okay, but if God can choose me, it's up to me whether I say yes or no. And there's just some people that have the ability to say yes and will want to say yes. There's some people that will look, you know, at that, you know, going back to, you know, this husband, you know, down on one knee proposing, you know. And there's some girls that will stand there and go, ha, ha, not a chance. And there's some girls that will be like, yes. You know, and just, you know, nowadays we see all the videos of the proposal, you know, because it's all set up these days and you get it captured and your friends are hiding in the bushes to capture the proposal. And we all love watching these things, right? It's sweet and it makes us happy. And it's like, yes, that's great. You know, and that's what it is, you know, and most often, you know, those videos don't usually get out when she says no. Just, you know, lest the guy has some really mean friends. So you can ask the question, but it's up to the girl whether she's going to say yes or no. And some girls are going to say yes to a certain guy, and some girls are going to say yes to another type of guy. Okay, this should be very obvious to us. This is actually a pretty simple concept when it comes right down to it. So, amen. So remember, it's not about your works that you can hear. It's not she that sings a special letter in church, let her hear. Psalmist 3:15. Now, Alina, this slide was made well before church, so I'm not talking about you specifically, okay? So, all right, appreciated your song. Amen. Okay, so we begin to understand then that it's up to God to choose. That if God created all of us, created everything, and then he puts a people on the earth, and he does so that he could have fellowship, but then he also must add a mechanism for a fall so that he could express the full nature of his love, because without the ability to not choose him. Like, look, I mean, hey, if my wife was a robot and she had to choose me, it's just like, you know, tell me again that I'm special to you. You're special to me. Like, but you have no ability to say I'm not special to you. Like, okay, yay. You see, without the ability to that God, if God wouldn't have put the ability to not choose him into the human race, he could not express his full love to pull people out of the depths of their sin. And then he also would not have the ability to truly experience the love coming back to him that he would want by giving them the free will that they could say yes or no to him. So people would like to step, you know, actually play God themselves and get all holy and say, well, if, you know, there's really a God, he wouldn't have any judgment and, you know, everyone would just choose him. And it's just like, yes, yes, you're a communist. Tell us how that's worked through history. Yes, yes, because not everyone's just going to work really hard for the sake of the community. Not everyone, there's no challenge, there's no desire, there's no drive, there's nothing there to make it value because everything's just the same. And when everything's not this, just the same, and it's like, hey, everybody, press the mark. And it's like, well, aren't we all there already? Then nobody tries. It's like, look, you know, it's like, well, I want to go and win my wife's heart, but, well, I'm no different than anyone else, and there's nothing, there's no differences, there's no good, there's no bad, everything is just fine. Yay. Ridiculous. Ridiculous. There must be contrast. Without contrast, every single one of us, when it really comes right down to us, if we want to apply it to ourselves, we want the contrast. We want someone to win our hearts. We want someone to come by and fight off all the evil and get to us and have a rescue story and let it be wonderful. And the only way that can happen is by contrast. The only way that can happen is by free will. And every single one of us wants free will. We just don't want God to give us free will because we want God to just reward us for everything no matter what we choose anyway. That's not really free will. So our fairness question really begins to, you know, fall off the proverbial cliff pretty quickly when it comes right down to it. Because it's got to be this way because God is choosing us. And because God is choosing us, he wants us to respond to his offer of love. And look, there's just some people who are going to respond to the offer of love. And because of what's inside of them, because, you know, you're waiting for a blonde guy, you know, to propose to you, you know, you're going to respond to that offer of love. If you're waiting for a dark-headed guy to propose to you, you're going to respond to that offer of love. It just depends on what's inside of you. It's like, no, I like blondes. I'm sorry. Waiting for the next guy. Why? Because of what's inside of you. A simple, you know, you get it though, right? Amen. So, continue as we think then, just bridge really quick into eternal thoughts. And then we'll bring these things back together. So, eternal thoughts, quick. Think of something new, completely new. Think of something like maybe a new dessert, like whatever that is. Some kind of puff pastry with whipped cream and chocolate, mini chocolate chips and kiwi and strawberries. Brand new dessert. Just thought of it. What did you just think of? Just brand new, something absolutely new. It's never been thought of before. Can you do it? Is there something there? Like, okay, maybe. Yes, you could. You can think of something new. In the book, if you go through your lesson, and you read Church Age book, which then you will find that I've been preaching to you out of the Church Age book very faithfully, and it will become even more rich to you. Amen. Okay, so and you do the lesson, you'll see that there's a few blanks in there, and it'll say, you know, okay, give us three names of your future children. Okay, when did you think of that? And as you go through your lesson, you know, you were like, well, Bob and, you know, okay, that's certainly not the name. No offense to any Bob in the room, but that's not the name, as you know, that I'm, you know, giving to my kids, you know, it's going to be something much more like in Chronicles. And Bob is not in Chronicles, you know. Okay, so you're going to come up with these names, right? Zion, you know, my wife came up with that one at one point in time and sent it to me. And I'm like, yes, it's over. There's no more discussion. The kid is named Zion, you know. And we thought that was a boy's name, like nobody's business. And we thought, you know, but then we come to find out that if he would have been a girl, it would have been okay because there's all kinds of little girls named Zion. And well, we thought we'd just come up with it. But, you know, we can come up with a new thought. You know, we can go, oh, I've never thought of that before. Has anybody ever said that before? Well, of course you've said that before, or you've thought that before, coincidentally. So we can have new thoughts. But let's begin to think of eternal thoughts. What does it mean to be eternal? Well, eternal means it never had a beginning, and it never had an end. Right. I'll just let that sink in for a moment. A thought that never had a beginning and never had an ending. How does a thought like not have a begin? Like, how do you have something in your mind that always was there? This is why I said at the beginning of the lesson, which you're going to read, you need to pray. Because, like, yeah, like, God help me. Because that thought right there is just, it will blow your mind. We cannot really conceive it, but this is God. Is that God's thoughts are eternal. God's thoughts never had a beginning. They always were and always will be. So then we begin to ask some questions. When did God think of his bride? A BC, let's see, 4,000 years, or 6,000 creation, maybe 1,000 years in there for God to rest. It was 12,000, 13,000. BC, 18,002. No. God's thoughts of the bride always were. God's thought to choose whom he would choose for his bride always was. The name of that person always existed in the mind of God. Okay, now that our minds are all blown, when did God know you? When did God know what your name was? Isaiah 55, verses 8 and 9, for my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. Amen. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. So we begin to understand that God's thoughts always were. Everything that is now, that was a part of the original plan of God, is being made manifested as we go through time. God always knew your name. He didn't think of it. He didn't come up with it. He didn't go, okay, I've gotten through 3 million names, and now I'm just going to start splatting letters on a page and see what I come up with because, frankly, I'm getting tired of this. That never happened. God always had your name. God always knew you, and God had always chose you. But in order to choose, in order to have the act of choosing, and we all want to be chosen, there had to be some that would be chosen and some that would not be chosen. Right. Amen? Right. That's just how this works. So God then now, he's got thoughts that are always eternal, and then he begins to speak. And he begins to say, let there be light. And that thought now that's an eternal thought becomes expressed. That expression is now in some ways a new entity. You see, God was a logos. He breathed out a logos because God, before he breathes out a logos, there's no way he can be known, touched, felt, expressed, or anything. So God expresses himself in a way that he could become known. And he becomes the spirit form. That is what logos means. And then he begins by that logos, because everything was created, that logos was Christ, his expression. We talked about that many lessons ago, that Christ was the very expression of God. God expresses himself as this Logos. This Logos is Christ, and by that Logos, he creates everything that was made. And so he begins to speak and express his thoughts that always were in his mind. In his mind, there always was going to be a world. There always was going to be a sun that lit the world. And when in point of time that he knew and he had predestinated, he said, "Let there be light." And there was light, and it was good. Amen. So God then from that thought expresses and manifestation happens. Amen. And that's what we were talking about. We talked about it with the young people. We've talked about it then in the parent meeting, that we need to get better at speaking about the Word of God. Because God was good about speaking his thoughts. And when God spoke his thoughts, it becomes manifested. So if we can begin to take the same thoughts of God that he's put in his word, put them in our lips and speak it. Well, that's the memorization section for the next chapter. But when a spirit-born, spirit-filled man places the word of God, takes that word into his heart and places it upon his lips, that's the same as deity speaking. You see, we need to get better at number one. Well, we should just read our church age book. We should read our Bible so that the thoughts of God can be in our thoughts, because they got to be in our thoughts before they can get through our mouth. Am I going too fast? Okay, good. So you got to get the thoughts of God in your mind, because you want to become like God, don't you? Well, everybody wants to become like God. Some people don't want to come God's provided way, but everyone wants to be like God. They want their way or the highway. Well, amen. Oh, well, if you want to be like God, that's fine. That God wants you to be like him. It's not a bad desire to want to be like God. It's only a bad desire if you don't want to do it the way God provided for you to do it. Okay, so if you want to be like God, get his word into your mind so that it can come down into your heart and then come out through your lips at the correct and appointed time. And that word comes out of your lips and suddenly the word of God begins to come manifest in your life. We're not just talking about healing. We're not just talking about, you know, having the financial peace and the mental and physical and everything just being wonderful. But we're just talking about also that the life of God begins to be just expressed through you. Because you're speaking the word. And you're becoming the very word of God. Amen. I love the word of God. So God, he expressed his eternal thoughts, and they begin to become manifested in a point of time. So Brother Branham says, down through the centuries we could go. We find a Moses, a Jeremiah, a John the Baptist, and each one of these were God's eternal thought expressed in its season. Then we come to Jesus, the Logos. He was the perfect and complete thought expressed. I wanted to underline that, but again, I had some issues getting things uploaded. But you should all have just said amen right there. He was the perfect and complete thought expressed. That's who Jesus was. The perfect and complete thought of God expressed. And he became known as the Word. That's what he is and forever will be. Amen. Now it says that he hath chosen us in him, Jesus, before the foundation of the world. That means that we were right there with him in the mind and thoughts of God before the foundation of the world. Amen. So what does that mean? That means if you are his bride, he always knew your name. You were always chosen in the beloved in Jesus Christ. You were always there. There was never a question. There was never a doubt. I remember Brother Ron Spencer preaching one time, and he said, now God has never had an emergency meeting and begin to say, now all you angels come together. We've got to figure something out because some of my children are about to fall away. He's never had to worry about it. He's never had to do it because his word will always become manifested and become exactly who it was meant to be, because it was a thought of God, and it can, even though it's expressed here in a point of time, just like Moses, just like David, just like Jesus, it will be manifested exactly what he had in his thought.
Amen.
And some of us were in his thoughts. And there were many that weren't. And some people were child of the king, and some people were not. Those that were always in his mind. That means they're a part of him. And then when you really begin to think about that, Azariah, you were always in his mind. You are now nothing but a manifestation of the expression of the thought of God's mind that was always there and never had a beginning. What's your math homework got on you now? I mean, really. I mean, just like, you know, can your math have anything on that? What trial can you go through? What problem can you have when you begin to recognize that if I am in him, if he's chosen me in him, it's because I was always in his mind. And, I mean, you know, you talk about invincibility.
Amen.
That's invincibility, church. That's invincibility. And that's who you are if you are one of his. Okay? And that's a big if. But we begin to look. Now, he says, look at this now. He continues on. He says, that gives an eternal quality to the elect. An eternal quality to the elect. You can't get away from that.
Amen.
Amen? You've got an eternal quality. Does that mean you always were? Well, no. Your flesh now is manifested in a point of time. So there is a flesh element, just like Jesus has a flesh element. Just as we begin to talk about, this is where Godhead, you got to really have this understanding and this revelation, is because we understand that Jesus was the expression of God. That body, when he was here, was a body that God stepped into and expressed himself through. It was the blood of God. It was the flesh of God. It was the very expression of God. It was his declaration of who he was. And so you, who are you then? Now manifested, there's a body here, but inside of that body, there's a seed down in there, an expression of who God, that eternal thought that was always there is now placed inside of that body. Was the body eternal? No. But there's an eternal quality, and you can't get away from it. And you begin to think, wow, that's pretty amazing. Is that true? Is that how this works? And well, yes. Because we talk about being redeemed all the time, don't we? What does it mean to be redeemed? If Jesus redeemed you, he bought you back to what you once was. What were you then in the beginning? Well, if he's redeemed you to be a child of God, that means your flesh had lost something. That in your flesh, now we begin to look at the finite point of it, because we've been looking at the infinite, at the eternal thoughts of God, which we, in our finite nature, can't comprehend. But we look at the eternal and we can see God in his mind. He's got these things. Absolutely, he can choose whom he wants to choose. He can express whom he wants to express, because he's God and he gets to do that. But then now we come and we begin to look at this and we begin to go, I recognize I need to be redeemed. Why? Because though I have a seed of God, the eternal thought down inside, yet I am in this flesh body and it must become redeemed. But what does that mean? That means I was always a child of God. There was something inside of me that was a child of God, and he has redeemed it. Without that, I would have been in a world of hurt. But he redeemed it. Now I have a choice. This flesh body has a choice. Will I accept the redemption or won't I? Amen? You've got the choice. It's just like, do I want to say yes to the blonde guy or do I want to say yes to the brunette? You know, brown-headed guy. I guess we don't call guys brunette, do we? Anyway, that's beside the point. Okay, so that's... Look, so will you be redeemed? And you've got the choice. I don't know. Sounds like a lot of legalism. Free to say no. You don't have to choose him. You don't have to accept him, his offer. You don't have to. But if there's something on the inside of you that likes him, see, now, yeah.
Amen.
Yes. Yes. Oh. So excited. Yes, you're going to choose him because there's something in you that's attracted to that. Amen. Amen. So, it's just like the story, and Brother Branham, you will read this in the Church Age book when you read this lesson. The story that he tells of the eagle in the chicken coop. When did the egg gets put into, well, I don't want to tell the whole story, you should read it. But, you know, the egg gets put into the chicken coop and it gets hatched with all the chickens. And, you know, he scratches around and he's trying to act like a chicken because that's what he sees. And then, but at some point in time, he hears the scream. He hears the scream. And he looks up and he says, "Hey, I thought I sounded funny, but I sound like that." And the eagle says, "Yes! Yes, I'll respond to that scream." Why? Because there's something in the eagle. Amen? Because God chose to express the eagle as an eagle, even though it got placed for a time in the wrong environment and in the wrong surroundings, the flesh. But yet there was something on the inside, a nature that was there that was creating different qualities and, you know, maybe a different appetite, you know, that bugs just weren't good enough. Glory to God. Okay, now this is where I want to find that quote, and I don't know if I can. Oh, man. Give me just a second. Okay, it starts there, so it can't be past that. Anyway, we're going to just go without that quote. You can find me later if you're really super interested. But it's just something that Brother Branham says about us that's amazing. So know that you're amazing because you're an eagle. And that's really the worst paraphrase that you've ever heard of the message of the hour. So, but it's in the Church Age book. So when you read the lesson, you'll be like, "Oh, that was amazing. And he's talking about me. That must have been it." And you'll be right. So when did the eagle in the chicken yard become an eagle? Well, he always was an eagle.
Amen.
He always had eagle qualities. Yeah. Amen. So, Galatians 4, 5 through 7. "To redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. And because ye are sons, God hath sent forth the Spirit of his Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father." So because you're a son, God puts something on the inside of you to cry out after him. Glory to God. "Wherefore, thou art no more a servant, but a son. And if a son, then an heir of God through Christ." So we can begin to look at, and I won't preach adoption here because we just frankly don't have all that kind of time. Because Brother Branham took like 3 sermons on it, so I won't do the same here tonight. But adoption, we begin to look at, Jesus always was a son. And, you know, we see Jesus and Moses and Elijah, and they're waving to each other, and, you know, the 3 disciples there, and you know, they're kind of freaked out at what they're seeing. But what are they seeing? And Brother Branham begins to describe this ceremony, that God takes a son, and he puts him in a high place, and he gives him an adoption, and he gives him a name. And that time, when he gives him that name, and he gives the son his own name. And Brother Branham says, and that's when your name is just as good on the check as God's is. Because God found you worthy. Because that's what we want in a son at some point in time. And you know, as I've been raising my children, you know, at some point in time, I don't want to be making decisions for them when they're 30. Brother Jimmy said that was a great idea. I don't know about the rest of you parents. Maybe some of the rest. Look, if you want to be making decisions for your children when you're 30, please come and talk to me after the service, okay? Okay? There's another sermon for you in it, but you should, you know, come to me and let me slap you around a little bit, because that's just ridiculous. Why would you? Look, you have children to express you. To express you. So let them express you. Baby them and mother them at the appropriate times, but it comes to a place where you should want your child to man, go conquer the world. Let me see what you got, because I know what's in you. I know you can do it. So go do it. I've trained you. I've tried to, you come ask questions when you want, but make some decisions, man. Do it. You can. You will achieve. God wants that too. God wants children to grow up in Him and come to a place when He can say, yes, you're doing great. Go. Hey, I'm going to put a gift in you, and I want you to go. And you may want to be in your parents' basement playing video games. You know, because if you don't, then 5 years ago today, I met a brother. I was preaching in Lexington. And I met a brother 5 years ago today. It was actually yesterday, but it was a Sunday. You know how it shifts a little bit there in the dates. But so 5 years ago on Sunday, I'm preaching in Lexington for Brother Luis. And whom do I meet? I meet Brother Jeffrey Jacob Johnson from Ghana. And he kind of likes my preaching. And so then a little bit before Easter 2015, he calls me and says, ah, brother, and he's acting, you know, very coy and just, oh, God bless you, how are you? And I'm like, this brother wants me to come and preach for him for Easter, and I ain't going. And he never comes right out and asks, so I don't actually have to say no. And so then he comes back to Jeffersonville and a little while later in 2015, and he says, you know, when I called you, you know, I was, and I said, I know what you wanted. You wanted me to come and preach for you at Easter. He's like, you knew. I was like, yes, I knew what you wanted. I wasn't coming. He's like, I will never call you again. You will call me. I said, Brother Jeffrey, I just wasn't ready. You know, I was still just down in my parents' basement, all right? I was just playing some video games, but okay, I'm going to be responsible and I'm going to go to Africa. Like, I never thought I was going to go to Africa when I was 10, 20, 30. Never thought I was going to go to Africa. Farthest thing from my mind, Africa. Like, you know, people go there by choice. Didn't know that was a thing. God bless you, brother. We love Africa now. But he chose to come here. I'm just saying. God put a gift in my life. Why? Because there was child training going on. And then at some point in time, he said, you're ready. Go to Africa. Preach the message of the hour in Africa. Encourage those believers. Amen. Another brother from Africa. Brother Aaron, good brother with us. He chose to come here with his parents, and then he went back, and then he chose to come again. So, we're happy to have him with us. So, I know he's going to be a real blessing to our congregation. So we begin to understand that God chooses us, and then at some point in time, though, he wants us to grow in him to a place where we can begin expressing his desire for us. We can begin expressing the word of God that is within us, that was an eternal thought from the beginning. Amen? Amen. How am I doing? I'm not even doing too bad on time. Bless the Lord. Okay. So you then, as already a seed of God, still must come to a place where God wants to place you as a son. So we go from eternal thoughts to placing as a son. So you were an eternal thought, but you shouldn't remain in the basement playing video games. You should grow in him to become like him and express him. Amen. Amen? Okay, so we come back to the question of free will for a moment, because then we can begin to say, if I always was a son, then I don't really have free choice. Everything is all decided, and I'm either a son or I'm not, so there's nothing I can do about it. We've never thought that either before. No one's ever had that doubt, or at least known someone who's had that doubt. Right? Yeah, this is another good question, because people think this, and really this can be very destructive. And I've known, you know, one brother specifically, and I know that there's been people that have really struggled with this, because they get into a place, you know, and how the devil will use scripture against you, you know, and he'll tell you, you know, well, if you love God, you know, or if you love the world or the things of the world, then the love of God's not even in you. So, yeah, how about that little sin that you can't seem to get rid of? You obviously love that. That's a part of the world. So you love the world. Therefore, you are not a son of God. Case dismissed. And that's what the devil tries to tell you. He uses scripture to do that. And you begin to think, he's right. I must not be a son. And if I'm not a son now, that means I never was a son. Because I have to be an eternal thought, and so if I'm not a son now because I love the things of the world, and which is, wait a minute, what about redemption? What about the eagle in the chicken yard? Yeah, yeah, and look, this will be one of the questions, so I'll just give you the answer right now, but Brother Branham says, a son can go a long time before he recognizes who he is. Now that's a deep thought right there. That a son can go a long time before he recognizes who he is. So here's the thing, is that the offer is still there to you. You don't know if you're a son or not. But here's the thing. God has done so much for you that he is so worthy that though he slay me, yet I'll trust him. Though he send me to hell, though I have no reward, he's worthy of me serving him. Guess who's really able to actually say that, though? His sons, his daughters. They can actually say that. They can actually live that. Because they're the only ones who can actually know that he's that worthy of that kind of thing. Because he is so great. Because he is so wonderful. Amen. But we come to a place where we recognize we're finite. And there's really only one way we can know. How do you know you're a son of God? How do you know your name is there? And I believe, correct me if I'm wrong, Brother Nathan, but doesn't Brother Branham even say, I believe my name is there? He doesn't even know his name is there, but he believes his name is there. Now, he has substance faith in that, though, and you can have substance faith in that. Why? Well, again, because of free will, you can know this. You see, we'll give you just a little test here on whether or not you're really a believer. On whether or not you really have the qualities inside of you to make you a believer. And look, you make a choice, everyone will know. You'll know, everyone else will know. It's pretty simple to know the mind of God on whether or not you're a believer or not. Key lime or cherry? We're going to start finding out. Isaiah.
Cherry.
Okay.
Cherry.
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 Oh my goodness. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 cherries. Are they believers or not?
Yes. Key lime.
Cherry.
Cherry.
Key lime.
Cherry.
Cherry.
Now, if I'm God, I can tell you that many are called, but few are chosen. Because, you know, because to be quite honest, when it comes right down to it, that's not like, okay, we can call that free will, but that's not even really a choice when it comes right down to it, because it's obvious. It's just obvious to everyone that key lime pie is absolutely, like, come on. Like, really? Key lime. That is the choice of all true believers. If I'm God. And so it's pretty obvious to find out who's the believer and who's not. Well, look at the one sitting at the table eating the green one, and look at the one sitting at the table eating the red one. Green means go, red means stop. Yeah, some will eat both, and they'll. Everybody's scratching their heads, and so are they. That wasn't one of the choices. And so we use this really simple illustration, but really it's very plain, isn't it? Who's going to choose to live and serve God? Who's going to choose to hear the voice of God in our age? If you are a Christian, you will listen to what the Spirit is teaching for each age. It's pretty obvious. You're going to start eating the key lime pie if you're one of the seed of God. And there's no seed in the key lime pie. That's pretty ironic. So begin to look at your choice. Begin to look at your actions. Begin to understand that if by your finite conception, you have a choice before you. God has put out the choosing and he's offering and he's saying, will you be mine? And it's pretty easy to know who's his and who's not. The ones that choose him. The ones that choose him. And then the ones that begin to hear what the Spirit is saying to their age. Amen. On that note, we probably really need to get on to what the Spirit is saying in each age. Now, it's really just a choice of, are you going to choose your way or God's way? Do you want to be chosen as a bride or do you want to just live your best life now? Well, just one of the two. Hey, key lime or cherry? I mean, come on. Now, we've been constantly saying, Brother Branham says that the true evidence of being baptized with the Holy Ghost is for the believer to receive the word for the age in which he lives. So the word, as we said, that eagle can come by and scream, and then that eagle sitting down there in the chicken yard goes, yes, I identify with that. And so we begin to hear that seed of God inside of someone, though they're in the wrong place, in a place that of scratching around on the ground and manure and all of these things, and it stinks and it's not good. You don't want to be there. But the scream comes out and something inside of you responds to it, and you make a choice to spread those wings and flop them and begin to fly and to begin to strengthen those wings every day. Hey, that's what eagles do. Now, I read this one to Furman just a little bit ago. Now, he acted like a chicken for a little while, but he could not be satisfied. But when he heard the call of the great eagle, he came to his own place. And once a true son of God hears the cry of the Spirit by the word, he too will realize who he is and run to the great prophet eagle and be with him forever seated in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Now, you might say, like, well, that's kind of, you know, that just, okay, let's be honest, that sounds weird. I mean, maybe not to message believers, but let's just be honest. That kind of sounds weird when he will realize who he is and run to the great prophet eagle and be with him forever seated in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Why doesn't it say we're running to Jesus? Why does it have to say that we're running to a great prophet eagle? Like, why does he have to say that? Why can't God just be the great eagle and we have to, well, here we are in our study of the church ages. Unto the angel of the church of Ephesus, right. Unto the angel of the church of Smyrna, right. Unto the angel of the church of Pergamos, right. Unto the angel of the church in Thyatira, right. Unto the angel of the church in Sardis, right. Unto the angel of the church in Philadelphia, right. Unto the angel of the church of the Laodiceans, right. Look, if you're a Gentile, you're in the Gentile ages, that is these church ages, and every single one of those church ages, God had John write a letter to an angel. The message was to the angel. The message was to the great prophet eagle of this age. The message was to the angel of each age. Now, last lesson we went through and we read a bunch of different scriptures. And what did it say? He that hath an ear. He that hath an ear. Hear that, he that hath an ear. I won't say it seven times, but he that hath an ear. Every single age, there were people that had an ear that had to hear. What was it that we're supposed to be hearing? Don't forget, we're in eternal thoughts of God. There were people that had a seed inside of them, and because of that seed, they could choose when they heard to accept what God has spoken by way of the messenger. Amen. Why has God? Why does the messenger have to be part of this? Why can't God just speak directly to me? Because he said he was going to do it this way in the Bible. Amen. I don't know how else to say that. But each age, and if you're living in one of those ages, which you are and can't get away from, God had a message given to the angel. This was not given to the church. It was given to the angel of the church to speak something to the church. And you begin to think, well, it says angel. Like, how do you know this is a man? Why is this a man, you know? And well, there's a whole lot of Christendom that actually doesn't even believe that angels will actually come and talk to you anymore. They miss that scripture about Paul being on the ship and the angel of the Lord coming down and talking to him. But, you know, because they want to get away. Look, hey, we understand. You know, the Mormons have you know, their prophet Joseph Smith who heard from an angel. And we all go like, yeah, nope. All kinds of people said, well, an angel spoke to me. It said, God should tell me to do this and this and this and this, and you should all follow me because an angel spoke to me. Lots of people want to say that. And so there's a general consensus across Christianity today, seminary Christianity, that would say, no. They'll go to Hebrews 1:1. God, in sundry times and divers manners, spake unto to his people by the prophets, but now in these last days has spoken to us by his Son. Dot, period, end, story, never speaks again, spoke to us by his Son. And that angel that spoke to Paul, like, just sweep that under the rug, right? But let's consider who these angels are. Like, we want to say, well, no, they can't be men. If you want to say, no, they can't be men and they have to be angels, does it make sense that John would write a letter to an angel? I just thought about that one just like half an hour ago, something like that. And I was like, well, that doesn't make sense at all, does it? Like, we all know it has to be a man that John is writing a letter to, so this angel of the church has to be a messenger to that church. And that messenger, that angel that receives this letter, is the one who can speak those things to that age. And so if you're an eternal thought of God, aren't you going to hear the same thoughts that God is speaking? Amen. Yes, you are. The Holy Spirit inside of you, you say, I've got God inside of me. Then you're going to hear what God says and do what God says. Because God inside of you will never disagree with God not inside of you. Amen. Pretty simple. Yes. I mean, this is simple as key lime and cherry pie, friends. Do you have that taste for the sour or that taste for the sweet? You know, I mean, that's... It's pretty simple. Do you have the taste for God? Do you have the taste to hear what he's saying and revealing in your age? Okay. You say, well, maybe I don't. Well, just be careful is all I would say. Be careful that you don't confuse, well, I have trouble with this, or I don't really like this, or whatever. Be careful that you don't confuse I don't want to with I don't have the ability to. Because there's some of you that could be sitting in this church that absolutely have the ability to hear what God is saying by way of the messenger of this day, but you just don't want to. So you'd rather make an excuse and let the devil lie to you and drag you through the mud and keep you scratching in the chicken yard trying to say, I'm good, I'm free, look, another bug, yummy. And you'll scratch around in the chicken yard because you don't want to. You don't want to go and do that. Because the devil's lied to you, and now he wants to say, see, you scratch around because you're a chicken and not an eagle. And he lies to you.
Amen.
Don't confuse the two.
Amen.
You're only hurting yourself.
Right.
Only hurting yourself. So God is going to speak to each age through the angel of that church who's a messenger to that church. Now, this is how this happens. Galatians 1:12, Paul says, I neither received it of man, neither was I taught it, but by revelation of Jesus Christ. This is how Paul heard it. Paul got the revelation. Why? Do you ever hear it? Well, for a moment, just stop. Does Peter ever say this in the scripture? Does Agabus ever say this in the scripture? Does John say this in the scripture? In some ways, yes, John is receiving this revelation, but John isn't making this clear to the people. John is, as we said, John was the scribe. He's seeing these revelations. He's writing them down. But Paul says, these things were revealed to me. Why? Because Paul was unto the angel of the church of Ephesus. and had then the ability, because of the revelation given to him, to express the word for that day to the church. And we thank God for it. So each age is going to have an angel speak the word, and if you have the seed, you're going to hear that word for your day and choose to walk in it. Because it's to hear God's word, because if you're a thought, a seed, which is a thought expressed by God placed inside of you, that is the same thing as the word, and so it will resonate with that word for your age. Okay? So, if Paul then gets it by revelation, then we then would have to hear by way of the messenger. The only way you're going to hear is through a messenger. And I wrote that in the lesson. If you read the lesson that I wrote for it, it's in big capital letters. And it says, the only way you're going to hear is through a messenger. Right. And people would say, amen. Sit down. Shut up. Press play. That's a valid thought. Because you got to hear it through a messenger. Right. Why do you have to hear it through a messenger? Well, we come back here unto the angel of the church of Laodiceans. Right. It's got to come through that first. You are never going to be this. You're never going to be, I neither received it of man, neither was I taught it, but by revelation of Jesus Christ. The only way you can say that is if you were one of those angels, which you're not. So you're not going to receive the revelation for the day directly from God. You have to hear it through the angel. Why? Because that just, because... right here. Goes to the angel. Got to hear it through the angel. Okay? So then you'd say, well, okay, we've got to hear it through the angel. Well, so stop preaching and only play tapes so that we can hear it through the angel. Well, what about the previous six ages who didn't have tape recorders? How did they hear? Well, and I, look, church, I want to do this with all reverence. I'm not firing back in message politics. I'm just going to teach you exactly what Brother Branham is teaching you in the Church Age book here. And again, if you read the Church Age book and do the lesson, you're going to find out that I am very faithful to what he say. So I'm not trying to jab or poke or anything like that. But what we are is beginning to do is begin to say. So the prophet begins to tell us in the Church Age book that this is how it came. Every age, the revelation came to the angel, who, and then he begins to spread that message around, and then those who hear that message and those who are faithfully taught begin to publish that message around to all to hear, but how careful they must be to say only what the prophet is saying. Now, we're gifted in this age by having tapes. Praise God. Look, I'm standing here preaching to you, telling you, go back and read in the Church Age book. Go ahead and go back and listen to the tape. We just last Sunday listened to the tape of this sermon. So yes, listen to the tapes. Absolutely, we're so blessed in this age to have these tapes. God has given it to you. God has given the tapes to you in this day. And God has given you an ear to hear. Yes. What God has spoken. What would you have given to be there, which you in some ways were, but you know, to be able to have the memory today that you were there floating and hear God say, let there be light. And it was there. I mean, that would have been cool. To hear God speak.
Amen.
That would have been cool. Yeah, and you can have that every morning.
Amen.
Yes. I mean, you know, we can talk like tapes, but it's 2019. You know, you just, you know, hold your thumb over it or show your face to your screen and open the table app and hit the play button and hear good morning, friends. And you're hearing what God is speaking to you in your age. The revelation of your day. Let there be light. That's how privileged you are. And that's what I feel about the tapes. I'm trying not to make it so that it's awkward for Zion, but too bad, you got to just deal with it. He was challenged by a friend of his. They're taking the Lifeline app, scrolling down to they're going to the On This Day thing that says all of the messages that Brother Brennan preached on that day. They're scrolling down to the bottom and finding the last tape, you know, the most recent tape for that day. And for 30 days, they're listening to a tape a day, except on Sundays because of church. They're listening to a tape a day, and they're just picking the last one. They're just letting the Lifeline app choose that particular tape, whatever it is. And sometimes it's 57, sometimes it's 64, 65, whatever. It gets a kind of a cool range. And so for 30 days, he's been doing it. He's been doing it for like 2 weeks now, listening to a tape a day. Well, he hasn't started college yet, so we'll see what happens tomorrow. But it's pretty easy to listen to a three-hour tape a day when you're not working and you're not studying and, you know, it's summer. And we'll see what happens. But what an amazing opportunity. What an amazing thing to be able to just sit there and hear God speak to you personally, the revelation of your day. That's an amazing thing. And I don't treat that lightly. I think we ought to have it in our homes. I think we ought to have it in our churches. I preach that same thing, and I want you to hear that same thing. And it's just as cool as hearing, let there be light. And that's how I truly believe it. Amen? But we're coming in here, and we're recognizing that throughout each age, they didn't have these tape recorders. They weren't able to do this. And so what Brother Branham is teaching us is the process that this happens, you know, how you hear is really something like this. God speaks it to the angel of the church of Laodicea. Then it comes to those who are faithfully taught. That picture is just a representative sample. So, you know, there's no arrogance or pride there. It's just I happen to have a picture of someone who was faithfully taught, so I threw it up there. And you say, how do you know you're faithfully taught? Well, I went to the Branham Tabernacle and listened to just about nothing but tapes for 20 years, so I think I've got a pretty good foundation. Pretty good. And then you hear it. And you say, well, yeah, but can I, you know, can't we just, you know, today we can just take care of that faithfully taught, and we can just hear it directly from the messenger. Yes, aren't you blessed? You can. You should.
Amen.
Amen. Yes, yes. But just because you can, and just because you should, and yes, those two things are true, but Brother Branham, I'm just going to read straight out of here. He says, now, only one messenger for each age receives what the Spirit has to say to that age, and that one messenger is the messenger to the true church. He speaks for God by revelation to the churches, both true and false. The message is then broadcast to all. But though it is broadcast for all who come within the range of the message is received individually by only a certain qualified group in a certain way. Each individual of that group is the one who has the ability to hear what the Spirit is saying by way of the messenger. Those who hear are not getting their own private revelation, nor is a group getting their collective revelation. But each person is hearing and receiving what the messenger has already received from God. That's not the quote I meant to read, although that is absolutely true. That's the quote I meant to read next. Where is it? Sorry, this is another one of those. I had it on the slide too late. Ah, here we go. In every age, Not just the first six. In every age, we have exactly the same pattern. That is why the light comes through some God-given messenger in a certain area, and then from that messenger there spreads the light through the ministry of others who have been faithfully taught. But of course, those, and this is the warning to all of us, but all of those who go out don't always learn how necessary it is to speak only what the messenger has said. We must be faithful to what he said. That's why I'm just reading it to you. But in every age, we have the same pattern. And if we have the same pattern in every age, then why would we ever erase part of that pattern? Why would we ever do away with a pattern that God put in every age? Rather, we should be blessed, so blessed, by saying, I can go back. And what those faithfully taught are saying, I can listen to what the tape is saying too. And I can be enriched by both of those things. And I can be assured so much of what is truth. because I can see the manifestation of God's gifts in the body of Christ, that God is Hebrews 13:8. He's still living. He's still calling ministers. He's still anointing people. He's still anointing people to give prophecies. He's still anointing people to preach the gospel. But this day and this age, we're so privileged and blessed to be able to listen to the tapes. I'm thankful for it. As I always say, before any true minister preaches, there has to be a tape meeting. Somebody listened to a tape to preach this message. So I'm all for tape meetings. Amen. I'm happy to have my own tape meetings. I'm happy to have them in church. And I'm happy to preach what I've been faithfully taught. So, your revelation, does it look like this? Does it come straight from Jesus? Because the quote I just read, that when I was meaning to read this other one, the message is broadcast to all, but each individual of the group is the one who has the ability to hear what the Spirit is saying by way of the messenger. Those who hear aren't getting a private revelation, nor is a group getting their collective revelation, but each person is hearing and receiving what the messenger has already received from God. Why? Because to the angel of the church of Laodiceans, right? So it comes to the angel speaks it, the faithfully taught broadcast it, and you get into one of those churches and you get the revelation. No. But you have a direct revelation from God. This is how you would hear to come through the messenger, through the faithfully taught, to come within range of hearing the word for your age. But your revelation is not the same thing as how you're hearing. Your revelation, you're getting it directly from God. God is, but look, you can't get the revelation unless you're hearing what God has spoken for your age. And that's what you're, the seed of God, that eternal thought, and I'm sorry I'm being long, but I'm almost done here. But that's what the seed of God, that eternal thought, comes. And because you have that seed, he then, as that eagle screams, that great prophet eagle screams, or one of those ones who's been faithfully taught, broadcast that message out and says, this is what the prophet said. How many times this morning did the interpreter say out there in Ivory Coast, say, Frere Brenham D? Because I was saying, Brother Brenham said, Frere Brenham D. I know that French better than anything else because I hear it a lot when I'm preaching. Why? Because I'm preaching the message of the hour. And when you hear that, there's a direct connection between you and God. When you hear a tape, there's a direct connection between you and God, that you're hearing the word that came through that process, through that messenger, but there's something in you that reaches out directly to God and says, that's reality. And you have a personal revelation of what that messenger has, of what has come by way of that messenger.
Man.
That's all it is. But that's the age that we live in. We're so blessed. We're so blessed to have this ministry of Brother Branham recorded for us. And we're so blessed to have those who are manifesting the seed of God inside of them and becoming placed as sons, and God having a gift in their life. And I would challenge anyone, what gift is God putting in your life?
Right.
Have you been faithfully taught? And are you taking what the seed and allowing and spreading your wings and growing and allowing God to begin to use you and do something through you, because he wants that seed to come to full maturity, to grow into something strong and just like him. Because that's who you were in the beginning. As you were an eternal thought of God. He wants you to grow and manifest to be just like him. Aren't you blessed?
Amen.
Aren't you blessed? Musicians, you can come. I don't have a slide, but it's lessons 29 and 30. And there's no more appropriate song tonight than Can't You See Why I'm So Happy? Because I've had a seed on the inside and I've chosen to hear what the messenger says. Can't you see why I'm so happy? I don't know what key, so you play something. Can't you see? Sit. Let's stand and worship. I've accepted the word of God. That means I was an eternal thought of God.
Oh, the revealed word that was spoken by the prophet of man, the Calvary. Oh, can't you see?
Don't let it just be a song to you. Let it be worship. Not everyone has the ability to hear and to choose and to say yes, Lord.
The revealed word that was spoken by the prophet of man. Oh, can't you see why? Oh, I'm happy. I've accepted the word of the Lord. Oh, the revealed word that was spoken.
Of Malachi 4. We sing it again.
Oh, can't you see why I'm happy? I've accepted the word. It's the revealed. Let your word be born in the manger of my heart. Oh, let it live in me. Let it start. Live inside this house of clay. Oh, and mold it every day. Let your word be born in the manger. Let it live in me, let it start, live inside this house of clay, and mold it every day. Oh, let your word be born in the manger of my heart. Oh, let your word be born.
And warm, unlikely a place
lonely, I'm nothing, not much to behold. Unlikely a place for his word to unfold. But if I'll just shield this vessel and let God have his way.
Disagree with Brother Trevor, but I thought this was the most appropriate song for the service. Oh, spread your wings, little eagle, and fly. Child, you weren't born for this valley. Are you tired of living below your privileges? Are you tired of eating in the barnyard? Why don't you fly a little higher into the kingdom of God tonight? New spiritual heights, deeper depths, and higher heights. Oh, just spread your wings, little eagle, and fly. Child, you were born for this moment. You were born for the sky. Oh, don't let your trials get you down or drive your spirit to the ground. Mount up with wings, little eagle, and fly.
Amen. Aren't you thankful that you're an eagle? Amen. You may not have realized you're an eagle for a while, but you're an eagle. Amen. Well, if you have ears to hear what the Spirit is saying, amen, then God's identifying you as an eagle. I don't want to preach after Brother Trevor, but I just want to say something. I've tried my best to stay away from this recently, so it's Brother Trevor's fault. He got us here. But, you know, when he was talking and St. Paul, they didn't have a tape recorder back then, but Brother Bam said what they did, they had scribes sitting there taking down what Paul was saying. And Paul tells us in Colossians chapter 4, verse 16, he said, "And when this epistle is read among you, cause that it be read also in the church of the Laodiceans, and that ye likewise read the epistle from Laodicea." So he was encouraging them to read his epistles in church. But the dangerous thing is when we begin to add these words that Paul didn't say or Brother Bam didn't say of only. And if you go back and read what he wrote to Timothy, he's obviously not telling Timothy, only read my letters to the church. And can you imagine if John the Revelator had only read Paul's epistles and hadn't left anything else for us? We wouldn't know about church age messengers. And we wouldn't know about the seven seals, and we wouldn't know about many of these things because Paul was already dead and gone, and John was walking in the light of his message on the Isle of Patmos there under his first church age messenger there, and God began to deal with him. So I don't believe God changes his pattern. Brother Branham said the pattern's the same in every age. So if people don't believe that, they can take it up with Brother Branham when we get beyond the curtain of time. They can argue with him and say, "We believe the pattern changed." But as for me, I'll take his word for it that the pattern is still the same. And I thank God that we're trying to do our best to walk in that pattern. You enjoy that tonight on Eternal Thoughts. And for those of you that maybe was a little confused why Brother Trevor and Gloriana and her stuffed dog was here at 6 in the morning. We didn't have a sunrise service that you didn't know about, but Brother Tao had asked for him to preach, I guess, over WhatsApp audio to his congregation there. They're 4 hours ahead of us, so Brother Trevor got up and got here at 6 in the morning, I guess 6 or 6:30, and preached for them, and they certainly enjoyed it, and it was a blessing. So he's asked me to do the same thing next Sunday, and I told him I'll pray about it. Because by the time we get to that point in the special meetings, I'll probably be not wanting to get up at 5 in the morning and be somewhere preaching at 6, but we'll see how the Lord leads. And, you know, I was thinking today, and I thought of it in the service while I was preaching. I forgot to mention it, but when I was teasing about how I misrepresented what 4 times 4 was on Wednesday night, I got to thinking about that this week, and I thought, I'm so thankful that, you know, Brother Branham, you know, he was under a pressure that us minister brothers don't have to be under, because he knew that there were going to be people that would take his words and hang on every word and search every word and look at every word and try to read into every word. And I'm so thankful that I don't have to worry about somebody making a doctrine and trying to make a loophole to make me right on my mistake of what 4 times 4 was, like he did when he would say 700 instead of 7,000 or something like that. And so I'm thankful I don't have to deal with those kind of pressures. That my congregation just laughs at me and goes on. They don't try to make a doctrine to support my ignorance. But and I was thinking when Brother Trevor was preaching about him and Sister Anna Mae choosing Zion's name there, you can run out on a limb on foreknowledge and say, well, they didn't have any choice to choose Zion's name, that God had orchestrated everything to get them to that point and put the right thoughts in Sister Anna Mae's mind and have her read the right books or think the right thoughts or read the right scriptures to where that thought would just produce itself, and they had no choice in choosing Zion's name. But that's not how predestination works. You'll run out of limb on Calvinism if you do that. But what God did was he looked down through time by foreknowledge, and in his eternal thought, he knew what she was going to choose to name Zion. So he knows what you'll choose to do, right or wrong. He knows all about it by foreknowledge. And so I thank God for truth. Thank God for revelation. You know, it's sad. He was showing the pictures there of the bride proposing to the groom there. But I saw something a lot sicker than that this week. We went to Spring Mill on Saturday. The weather was so nice, and I really didn't have the time to do it. But it was so beautiful. I thought, well, I'll take the kids and spend some time with them. We took Mom and Dad with us and went there to Spring Mill. And there was a wedding that was going on, Brother Jonathan. And then we got to looking, and there were two brides in veils. And I thought, oh, it must be a double wedding. Maybe they're sisters. And then we got to looking at the board where they were having the wedding, and there was, instead of the bride's side and the groom's side, there was the bride's side and the bride's side. And it was two different names. And I thought, how sick. But it's the world that we live in. And, you know, we don't, so you say, oh, you shouldn't say that, Brother Nathan. You shouldn't, you know, well, I could describe to you what they look like, but there's no way I could do that without offending somebody. So we'll just leave that alone. But it's sad. And they think they're right, and they think they have these rights, and they think that they have loopholes in the scripture and things to do it, but it is wrong, and we don't believe in it. But by the grace of God, we would probably be in a mess as well, doing something out there that was, you know, worldly or whatever it would be. Maybe not that, but he that's guilty of the least is guilty of the whole. So, you know, I thank God for truth and for revelation. I thank God that he chose me, that I didn't choose him. I would have chose wrong, but his choices are always right. Amen. And it's certainly a privilege to be serving God with a group of people that love him with all their hearts. And I believe we're trying our very best to move forward into the kingdom of God and into a deeper relationship with him. Do you love him tonight?
Amen.
Amen. You appreciate the word?
Amen.
Amen. I know it's a little later than normal, so let's just sing that again as we go. And you can be dismissed if you'd like. Oh, spread your wings, little so